Thank you. Thank you for your poems, too. It is so nice to read here. It always feels like coming home a little bit, and it always also feels a little cosmic, if you know what I mean. It's this closed space, but there are so many ghosts here, poet ghosts, that it's very wide. So it's kind of a neat space. And I'm really delighted to read with Jan Beatty and Ed Ochester. We're trying to figure out when it was that we read together before, and it's been years. They are my teachers. They bite me, they kick me. They are the most amazing readers, and that you can show them, I can show them, the scratchiest piece of crap, and they say things like, well, you know, keep going with that, you know, and just keep going with that. So. No, it is really, really good. So thank you. And thanks, Jimmy, too. Yay. And there are all kinds of people here tonight. So many poets, so many amazing poets, and a woman who has goats, and Maggie who crawls along the floor. So it's very nice. This is my strangest book in that it came almost from the minute that I closed the door of my childhood home for the last time. And if you've had that experience, you've had to sell that house or leave that house, there's no feeling quite like that. And when that happened, all these voices came forward, the voice of my great-grandmother Apollonia and my great-aunt Apollonia, and the voice of my mother who had passed away. And they started not so much teaching me things, but answering questions that I was asking. So if you have somebody who's no longer here and you say to yourself, I wish I had asked them that, that's kind of where these poems started. So I'm going to read three short sections from the Apollonia sequence, in which the great-grandmother, who's called Mala Babka, which really means little grandmother, is speaking to me, the granddaughter voice. I'll say it that way. So it's kind of that Q&A with the dead. Did you wrap his feet in newspapers in winter? Did we eat sour cream and rye bread? Sour cream I made myself, bread I made, onions and garlic I snipped for the top. Of course I wrapped his feet. Then I went down and played with the baskets. I let you go down to the little cellar because you were good. This coffee is good, like mine, like tar. Give me some chocolate. I let you go down to the golden onions to teach you tears can be sweet. Did we burn coal and breathe it all night? Did our rags turn black? I have rags of every color, ivory from bleaching, red and brown from bleedings, green from garden, black from coughing. In the hollow house, I looked down through cracks in the boards and saw yellow water running from the mines. When rains came, yellow water could wash us all away. Your mother, she suffered over the quickness of life. You, sad sometimes, like me, you think you know things? I know women will be last. My eyes ache. You have too many books. I have my house, my love, books enough for a while. You know things? I know a lot of things. I know they rape and sell girls. I know they want to close a girl's school. Easy. Throw poison down a well. Women, children, animals, all will be last. Women. Women cry and bleat and manipulate. I have done these things myself, so I know. If a woman breaks your heart, it breaks twice. And you yourself, a woman, helped it along. I've done this myself. But They use us. They write laws, threats, laws on our bodies. We let them use us. In Poland, you left school before it was time, and your teacher cried. Shit, I learned to read first. Let me tell you, girls and boys and young and old all suffered, and more suffer now. Apollonia is a deity as well. She's called the Destroyer. She's also known as a martyr. And this next one is a kind of prayer poem in which the crone is saying a prayer to a willow tree in honor of Matka Zema, which means moist earth, goddess of the moist earth. I like the idea of praying to a tree. We're talking about trees at dinner tonight. Prayer to the willow. The willow grows and gives. Her baskets hold the laundry, so line them with good linen. For your summer party under the willow tree, line them with old linen and towels, then ice, then 50 green bottles of beer. And when your neighbor dies, line them with good linen, place warm bread, butter, salty ham, and carry them next door. So I know there are poets out there who, like me, you sent your manuscript out 1, 2, 4, 5, 8 times, kept coming back. And in the meantime, you get in the mail, the newest book that won the big prize, and you get pissed off. And so I believe in housework as therapy, but also I believe in the violence of housework and yard work. And this poem is about that. One of the local secular saints, Rachel Carson, is mentioned in this poem, and so is Thurgood Marshall. After reading another book of dull poetry, that's the pissed off part, I go out and cut the grass. Thrash blades furiously, obliterate all, stain flagstones green, stagger to hose for cold drink, steaming and also smeared green. 8 minutes, done. That fragrance I love, volatiles spewing their delicious distress call. So now I feel sad about my violence, once pouring leftover paint down the cellar sink, burning plastic, etc. Big prize book in today's mail, so smart, so icy, I ripped the cover off and tossed guts. Usually it is very hard to write a poem, sometimes as much, sometimes far less than Rachel Carson's labor, finishing Silent Spring, she who let her grass grow freely up in Springdale, even when neighbors complained, she who concurred with William Douglas, roadside flowers also have inalienable rights. She who labored to simplify her book while suffering last chemo so the public could read and comprehend it. Smart poets. Thurgood Marshall, after a hard day on the bench, loved to repair to chambers, turn on, unwind to, the people's court. My yard is not a handkerchief of the Lord. 90% turned over for vegetables and flowers. But I take a sec, admire cut velvet heightening the lilies and the bird bath, visible 360. It turns out my great-grandmother, born near Jones' ancestral village, was married to a Polish soldier who fought in the Napoleonic Wars, and she went back to Poland where she was really looked down upon. She was, she was Sicilian, and they were Poles of many generations. So Only in the last couple of years, a cousin of mine sent me a copy of the church ledger where Apollonia's name is written in very faint pencil. It had been erased or not placed in ink or whatever. So this is called Apollonia is Restored to the Book. We already know why Anonymous did not step forward to speak, to sign her canvas. Adultery, rape and shame, abortion, burials, slanders of forgery, parody, plagiarism, worst, shyness of her own genius. But my Apollonia was bound to a young Polish soldier from the Vistula, sent to Italy, War of 1866. Her birth name carried from Polina, north, east via Bari and Turkey, east to the green, cold Carpathians. Who removed her name from the ledger in the old church? Who penciled it back in? I'll close with this one. This is a translation I made. It's a section from Giacomo Leopardi's great poem about Vesuvius and the event of Pompeii. Within a few hours, people swept away and swept away. And it's a love poem to the broom flower or the acacia, or to us, the sumac, or the, quote, weed tree that grows all along the Parkway West and in my backyard. And I'm going to read it as my, I guess my anti-Trump poem. I'll just say that. Ed's going to read some Trump poems. To the broom flowers of Pompeii. On the dry back of destroyer Vesuvius, flower that blooms and scatters your lonely twigs and bushes over the lava fields, lover of sad places where snakes nest and twist in the sun. 1800 years have passed since the people and place disappeared, crushed by fire. At night, in secret, through empty houses, theaters, deformed temples, where bats hide their young, the glow of the deathly lava hurries like an insane torch, circling blackly through empty palaces, and from a distance saturates the dead crimson and stains everything in its path. Ignoring us in the ages we call ancient, nature stays green all the time, moving ahead on a road so long it seems to stand still. Meanwhile, empires fall, races and languages die. Nature doesn't see this, and humans still talk about eternity. And you, flower, gracing this bare place with your slow brushes of scent, you'll fall too. You'll bend your lovely head under your own mortal burden without struggling. Thank you.